We do have a quorum. We'll call the meeting of the Ways and Means Committee to order. The clerk will note the roll of members. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the March 27th meeting. Representative Coles, would you like to be so kind as to move the minutes? Or Hoppy, I'm sorry.
I would both move the minutes, Mr.
Okay, Representative Hoppy moves the minutes of March 27th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. And I apologize for calling you Representative Coles.
That's okay, I won't tell him.
Okay. The first item on the agenda is Senate File 1329. We do have the Senate file before us. It's been approved by the Senate and was referred to us today. So the chair would move that Senate File 1329 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Registry. And Representative Taft, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's an honor to be here before you, and especially with a bill that is going to allow a lot of our municipalities to get some money into the system for clean water and drinking water loans and grants. This is part of the federal funds allocated for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and I've got Terry Coleman here with me who can kind of outline how the bill is structured.
You can do that. We usually don't take testimony, but if you want to go very quickly through the provisions in the bill, Mr. Coleman.
Sure.
You can do that. And Mr. Coleman, can you identify yourself for the tape, please?
Sure. My name is Terry Coleman. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Public Facilities Authority. And what we're trying to do with this bill is two things, really. One, to expand the permit allowance from 20 years to 30 years. On the first part of the bill for both drinking water and clean water loans, and when you make a 1 or 2% loan, adding 10 years makes a significant difference in monthly payments to users. The second key element is to be able to use the federal stimulus money as grants. And historically, we've not been able to do that under federal law. Now federal law is requiring it, so we need to modify state laws to do that. And we've pretty much adopted past practices as far as grant thresholds to award it. As far as means test, we do provide a 20% base grant for people that get the stimulus money to cover additional requirements that they'll have. And on the very last, on the very end of the bill, the one thing new that the Department of Health requested was a small grant program for the small nonprofits like Boy Scout, Girl Scout camps that have water systems, and they really don't have the resources to pay it. We provide a 50% grant up to $10,000, primarily to replace wells or put in a small treatment plant to get those systems up to snuff. So that's really the only significant new thing that's been added, other than changing it from grants. And we did define grants in the Senate version as principal forgiveness. Because EPA told us we use principal forgiveness instead of grants, we can avoid all the federal grant requirements. So we won't call them grants anymore. We'll call them principal forgiveness.
Okay.
And that's a quick summary of the bill. It's roughly going to get about $107 million. 82 of that will be for wastewater, because that's where most of the demand is, and $24 million will go towards drinking water.
And this is changes that are required because of the American Recovery Act.
Correct.
That's correct. Questions? Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Taft, can you tell the committee what percentage of this money will be available to Greater Minnesota, what percent to the Metro, and what to either?
Yep, my understanding, and Mr. Coleman can come into that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that over half of it will be in Greater Minnesota, and roughly then just a little under half will be in the metropolitan area.
And Mr.
Representative Holbert.
Mr. Chair, can you tell me in the bill where that spelled out which pots go to which? It was my understanding that only about 20% was guaranteed for the Metro and that 80% was going to Greater Minnesota.
Mr. Coleman, can you add to the
pass it on to him?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert, the intent is to provide funds on a first-come, first-served basis. The Met Council is one of the largest wastewater treatment providers in the Summit County metropolitan area. They have five projects on the list. They're eligible for a base grant up to $2 million for each. They also have one that's the energy efficient or green technologies. They're claiming that could qualify for $2 million. From a loan standpoint, they're seeking $80 million in total for this fiscal year. Stimulus money, roughly, the loan portion, they'll receive about half or 55% of the total, just to subsidize that loan 1.5%. It's a pretty sizable project.
And so Mr. Chair, again...
They may not get 50% of the grant, but they're giving a fair chunk of funding.
Okay, Representative Holbrook?
Well, Mr. Chair, there's a difference between grant and principal forgiveness, I think you called it. Loans and principal forgiveness. So of the principal forgiveness money, how does that break out, Metro versus Greater Minnesota?
Mr. Coleman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, there should be roughly $42 million available for principal forgiveness for various grants. Met Council, looking at theirs, they could qualify roughly for $12 million maximum in principal forgiveness.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, so 42, that's about 25% of the grant money. And Mr. Chair, you said that they could qualify. Is there any standard in this group that hands out all the money, that there's try and be more equity in the distribution of the funds regionally?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, we've tried to provide as reasonable equity between Metro and Outstate as we can, allowed under federal law. The federal law, when it comes to the grant or additional subsidization, principal forgiveness or negative interest rate or grants, basically says those funds need to go to communities that can otherwise not afford a loan. And Met Council, being a AAA rated issuer, it's very difficult to just say that they can't afford a loan. They advertised on their website the six lowest sewer rates in the country for metropolitan areas. So it's difficult. We have worked with EPA trying to look at the base grant to cover costs of reporting and stuff like that, and they're allowing us to do that because they know the stimulus funding is going to cost additional, so they're allowing base grants. But when it comes to providing grants or additional subsidy, the federal law does require that it be for those entities that otherwise cannot afford a loan. So that's why we have that, and for disadvantaged communities, we specifically define that in EPA's guidance as well as congressional intent. And historically, we've had a disadvantaged community definition as projects that exceed 1.4% of median household income. So that's why it's built into the statute. That's about as close as we can get within the confines of the federal appropriations providing grant funds to the metropolitan area.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that with the huge reduction in the new building permits, Met Council structured their infrastructure program based on a certain income, based on a certain rate of growth, and it's my understanding that they, in fact, now are not meeting those projections and are, in fact, going into reserves in order to meet their infrastructure needs. Is there a way for us to change your standards? I mean, I would assume that you could make the case that this economy, those factors as a result of this economy are providing new challenges to the Met Council, no matter how big they are, that it's making them very difficult to meet their obligations to provide infrastructure for this region.
Mr. Coleman?
Mr. Chair, it's possible. I personally think we're stretching the envelope with EPA doing the 20% base grant. And the average metropolitan sewer cost per household per month is roughly $16 a month per household. In communities under 2,500 that we've worked with in the last 3 years, the average sewer cost per month per household is over $56 a month. There's a huge gap there. and even the cities over 2,500 on up, it's running around $28-$29 a month. So is there a need there because of slowing economy and slowing growth? I don't argue that, but when you're looking at trying to provide some equity across the board of what people pay on a per month household basis, you know, at least try to keep that gap. I think we're doing the best we can to provide assistance to Met Council, keep them competitive with their other clients. Like I said, they do advertise the sixth lowest sewer rates in the nation of the metropolitan area with the rest of the state. So.
Aren't there sewer rates are for to operate the system? Isn't it the connection fees that actually pay for the infrastructure?
Mr. Colin?
My understanding is a combination of all those revenues that come in, the connection fees. I think they collect $400 of connection fees. Do go to their debt service, whether monthly or their annual charge, I think it's $1.25 a thousand. Gallons or something like that. I'm not quite sure of the rate. That goes for a combination of debt service as well as operation maintenance. I believe 40% plus of their budget is debt service. So.
Mr. Chair, I think when we put these monthly figures out, we need to make sure that we're doing apples to apples, and that.
Mr. Coleman, how does that collection or connection fee compare with other cities throughout the? Because the other cities have, yeah. Also the metropolitan area have connection fees as well.
Yeah, it does. The standard, almost every city charges a minimum of $400, which is way below the cost. Cities we generally work with, especially the growth areas, they're up to $10,000 to $15,000 per household to connect, because that's roughly the cost providing the service. So that's kind of what they charge.
So are you saying that they charge $10,000 to $15,000 for a connection, or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it varies, but almost every city charges at least $400, which used to be the practice for many years. And when we start looking at what the actual cost is per household, a lot of them have raised that up in the 4 to 5 digit category for new housing.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Any other questions? I'm learning some good things as I go through this. Any other questions? If not, then the chair would renew his motion that Senate File 1329, Second Engrossment, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. You're on your way.
Thank you.
Can I just ask one question, Mr. Coleman? What is the time sensitivity of this bill that we just put on the General Registry? Is there a requirement of federal government to have grants or projects under construction?
Yes, our goal, they told us to get 50% of the funds under contract within 120 days beginning February 17th. We will submit an application the day this is passed. We've already submitted a draft, so all we have to do is sign it and send it in. They promised a 3-week turnaround at USEPA. And we are working with cities to get projects bid. We've already got 3 that have bid. Several are out for bid. So hopefully we'll have that under contract. But the sooner the better.
So 120 days is 50
June. Yeah, we need to get over $50 million under contract between now and June 17th.
Okay, thank you. Then the next bill under is House File 855, Representative Hausman. Welcome to the committee, Representative Hausman. You want to explain your bill? The chair will move that House File 855 be recommended passed and placed in the General Registry. Representative Hausman.
And Mr. Chair, I think you are most interested in this committee on the last page of the spreadsheet because you have to assure that we are all, each finance division has stayed within its target. And as members of the House probably know, we arrived at a target for capital investments just as all the other divisions did, so that we could have a balanced and sustainable budget this year. And that limited us to $200 million, and that is what you'll see on the last page, that we managed to hit that. I will tell you, when we were working on this, and we came in $35,000 over, I said, that's not close enough. We have to find $35,000 more in cuts. And beyond that, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want me to go into detail about content or how much information you would like for this committee.
President Hausman and members, if you look on the spreadsheet that's provided to you, you will see the staff has got from the last page, page four, the bonding summary, and it does meet the target that has been established for the for the debt service. Representative Hausman, if you want to just give us some highlights of it, and then I know there are a couple of amendments.
It is agency-based. You can see University of Minnesota, MinSU, and throughout. It is a very slim bill, and it's focused a great deal on asset preservation all throughout. We took our advice there from Tom Stinson. The federal government talks a lot about shovel-ready, and he suggested we ought to think about paint-ready, meaning asset preservation that is more easily ready to go out the door. You hire a roofer or an HVAC contractor to get the work done. I would say the two issues where we fund in a slightly different direction are under the Department of Transportation and Met Council, where we have our commuter and passenger rail program. By the end of this year, MnDOT will have a state rail plan for both freight and passenger, and they are directed first to maximize federal money, including federal stimulus money, and then to implement their plan, and the same is true of the Met Council, matching federal money as a direction, and then implementing their program. When we passed it out of my committee, I had just one paragraph on that one, and finance thought that we needed a little more specificity, and I have some language from that council, and we may have gone overboard with language, but what always happens in conference committee, should we convince the Senate that this is the way to go, that's when bond council takes a very close look at the language to determine do we have the right language to actually be able to spend that money. So particularly as I look around the table, I'd be interested in sitting down with Representative Holberg on some of that language, because we've had some long conversations about that, and I'd be interested in some feedback on that before we get to conference committee. The Moose Lake expansion is not in the Senate bill. That was brought to us by Representative Huntley's committee. I believe you have all of this in your packets, and one of them is the per diem issue. The motivation to do this more quickly is we bring that per diem down when the phase two part of this project is full. We finally are down below Wisconsin in per diem, and so one of the motivations to do this project sooner is to help with that operating budget. That's been quite a big issue, as you may know. Otherwise, Mr. Chair, if there are particular, I believe there was an amendment relative to the flood hazard mitigation grant.
Yeah.
I would tell you all, we don't begin to think that we have in this bill what we need to respond to the flood that is happening even as we speak. We are not past the crisis point yet, and I am sure that when we have some good estimates of damage and we have some good sense of what federal dollars are coming in, that the legislature will likely be forthcoming with another bill that responds to the flood in the Red River Valley.
We do have members of an amendment in your packet. Representative Eakin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would like to move the A6 amendment.
Representative Eakin, in discussing this with some other people, I think that in doing some research, If you look at your amendment, 86, lines 1 through 7 deal with 1 through 6, I'm sorry, lines 1.1 to 1.6 deal with the bill that's before us. Starting on 1.7, it's the old one that includes St. Vincent as well. And it's really not relevant. And so I would hope, can you limit your amendment to those particular lines?
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I think that would be 1.5, not 1.6.
Okay, 1.5, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. And should I make an oral amendment?
Yeah,
to,
would you do that?
Strike the language after 1.5.
Okay. So, everyone understand what the amendment is? Just strike the language starting at 1.6 from there on down in this amendment. All those in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. And we have before us just what's left of A6 is lines 1.1 to 1.5, including 1.5. Representative Eakin.
Right, and Mr. Chair, members, this simple amendment that just simply inserts St. Vincent into the list of those projects that are eligible for the flood hazard mitigation grant.
And for members who do not know where St. Vincent is, if you travel from St. Vincent about a quarter of a mile, you are in North Dakota, and if you travel north about 4 miles, you are in Canada. And I have a little bit of a affinity for St. Vincent. When I haul beef in the fall, I stay in a little teeny house in St. Vincent, one of the, probably the 10 to 15 houses that are there, right next to the dike that they need to repair.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to recuse yourself from voting on
No,
that?
I will not. You were going to vote for it. You wanted me to be washed, my house to be washed away, huh? Okay. We have the amendment before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, any other questions on the House file 855? Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hausman, I'm looking at in particular the detail on the state colleges and University of Minnesota, and see quite a few projects that are related to energy efficiency. And we've seen this massive money coming from the federal government. And I, with my understanding, listening to Representative Kalin, that we are going to get all this money to make public buildings more energy efficient. So I'm wondering if you can tell me if there's a reason that these projects would not qualify for that money, or if there's any discussion around that issue.
Representative Holbrook.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Holbrook, can you identify just the specific, are you on the spreadsheet or the, okay, and are you talking about the solar testing and certification laboratory?
Mr. Chair,
I'm talking about a whole range of projects. If you look through these in this document here,
oh,
if you go to the final column, you see energy efficiency all over the place, and the University of Minnesota, more than 25%. If you look under Twin Cities campus, multiple 44 buildings, energy conservation projects, nearly $6 million. And so I'm wondering if any consideration was made for whether or not these projects can be funded with federal stimulus money or...
And Mr. Chair, when I first visited with Al Johnson right after we were getting some of those numbers in, he had a fairly significant amount that it looked as though the federal stimulus money coming to higher education for capital. My understanding is that has now all not materialized, that for whatever reason, the federal stimulus package has not included higher education, and I would welcome anyone to come down if I'm not categorizing that correctly. Initially, we thought it would be significant, and now, for whatever reason, higher ed has sort of been moved off the page. So, though we would have hoped for that at one point, in the end, that wasn't so.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion, Representative McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hausman, I have circled the same thing and was going to ask similar questions, but what about, isn't a large amount of that money coming to the state for energy grants, and it seems like it would be logical if we have the opportunity, we would award a lot of those grants to our, like, Minsky institutions specifically. I mean, there was one here, it's a window replacement at one of the tech colleges. And I'm wondering, Representative Eakin's A6 amendment brought up the very important point that we're probably going to be back here at some point looking at the possibility of needing to bond some work in the Red River Valley. And if we're going to the limit of 200 that was set, is there an opportunity between now and maybe when we get to the floor to reduce our bonding bill some to allow for us to incorporate into the maximum some flood potential money for the future? I'm just surprised that none of this energy
flood
stuff...
Representative Hausman?
Flood money you're asking?
Well, I'm wondering...
Let's try to go through this chair a little bit, okay, so we can identify. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'm sorry, Representative Hausman. I went on too long. I would think some of this Minsky and U money, is it not eligible through some of the grant program that we're going to do where we could reduce some of this bonding, still do the project, but use some of the federal money, allowing some future bonding capacity for flood mitigation?
I think one of the gentlemen has left the room with his phone to try to get an answer to that. I'm looking, and it looks as someone is trying to get an answer, but I have a feeling that neither of the people in the room have an answer. But you asked a question that I am certainly willing to further inquire about. We may have an answer shortly.
Along that same line, Mr. Chair, I guess Representative Hausman, well, there, I appreciate you looking at that and trying to work through that. But wouldn't it be prudent for us, my other point is that we allow some room for the flood mitigation. And have you gotten, I know it's still ongoing, but do we have any idea how much we may want to leave capacity for that? Or are you not concerned about that at this point?
Representative Hausman.
And Mr. Chair, you may remember more than I or some of the staff here. And we may not have a lot of cash to do that right now, but so much of the response to the flood has to be cash rather than PO bonds. I'm seeing some indications from the staff that's correct. So the assumption is it's not that it's going to be PO bonding. The nature of flood mitigation is so different from what we do in this bill. So that's my memory from Southeast Minnesota anyway.
Representative Magman, I think that there needs to be a combination of both cash and then we look for the opportunities to have bonding within the contents of what's available and what we need to match that comes down from the federal government for flood mitigation. There's, I think, two different things. There's a response to the flood itself, the ongoing costs, such as the cleanup and all those type of things that are associated with floods. And, of course, we cannot bond for cleaning up from that. But we can bond for some matching funds that come down from the federal government for mitigation purposes. We don't know what that number is going to be or what kind of help it will be, but I think when we try to make those decisions, we try to make them in a smart way. Should there be a lot more in flood mitigation, and should they use it over the next few years? Probably. But we have to try our best to stay within the limits that were set as well. And as we get additional information, I think your question will become very, very pertinent. Any other questions or concerns at all? Any other questions? Welcome to the committee. If you can identify yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Todd Iverson, University of Minnesota. It is our understanding that particularly the energy efficiency dollars that Representative Kalin is carrying in his bill, the university is not an eligible entity under the rules that the federal government has set out for those dollars, for the programs that are funded through that particular pot of money. There is a group of dollars that come through the stabilization fund that we could possibly be eligible for, but that is up to the legislature to decide where that other percentage of those state stabilization dollars go. So that's that's a legislative decision that will have to be made over this session. But the energy efficiency dollars, we are not an eligible entity as we understand it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Iverson. Any other questions at all? Any other questions? If not, then the chair would renew his motion that House File 9855, as amended, be recommended, passed, and placed in the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And
no.
Then, Representative Hausman, you have also an additional one, that's House File 2134, is that correct? And Representative Hausman, I think there's an amendment to this one as well, is that correct? Has that amendment been passed out? Oh, it's A2. The chair would move House File 2134. You recommend to pass based on the general registry. Then, we have A2 amendment. H2134A2. Oh, here it is. It's in my packet, too. And the chair would move that amendment. And maybe Mr. Marks can explain this amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, the changes in here make the dollar amounts in this bill identical to the dollar amounts in the bill just passed for those items that are funded in House File 2134. So it's simply changing the dollar amounts of three different appropriations and then the total bonding at the end.
And, members, you also call your attention to page 4 that if there is a double passage, it's only counted once. Okay, Representative Hausman, anything else on this?
That would be it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any other questions? Could you vote on this? We have the amendment before us. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Then we have the House File 2134 as amended before us. Chair will renew his motion that House File 2134 is amended to be recommended to pass and placed in the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. Members, I think that concludes our business for today. We'll be wrapping up, obviously, as we go through, but nothing is scheduled right at the present time. So. Okay? With that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for